Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you doing today?
I am, and I'm trusting that you are the same.
I am younger today than I was yesterday.
Hey.
I've gotten some attention. My wife said to me, she says, how come you look so young? Do I look old? And I wasn't sure whether it was just about her looking old or me looking young. So I said, honey, you look just as young as the day we met.
Well, she looks as young as she did the first time I saw her 12, 13 years ago. You can tell her that.
But. It's true. I don't know. You know, it's just amazing to me how that woman, she after two kids and 20 years, she still looks the same.
I probably shouldn't use the terminology on a podcast that's spiritually oriented, but you can tell her she's a fox.
Well, we're not that spiritually orientated, are we? We can't say that, things like that. Wait a second, didn't we have some conversations about homosexuals at one point in time? That's not spiritually orientated, that's sexual preference, right? Or some might say it's predisposed.
You know, I shouldn't do this, but the craziest thought just came to me. So it's a funny, I think it's funny. Neither you nor I have any judgmental feelings about homosexuals at all, but I was thinking how we could do a skit of a fundamentalist TV show, and one of us would say, yeah, well, you know what them homosexuals think, don't you? They think that the book of Exodus was about coming out.
Coming out of what, Bubba?
The closet.
Okay. I don't think they're going to air that TV show. Maybe on Saturday Night Live or some late night show like that. Something well after 12 o'clock.
Didn't think it was suitable material for a podcast of our esteemed quality.
Yeah, so, not ready for prime time.
Okay, so here we go again.
Okay, so why don't we talk about part 9, Reversing the Process of Aging, a challenge and a question. So there's a few challenges in here, I agree. I'm reading this concept of free agency or free will, and I guess I've just kind of always taken that sort of stuff for granted. I'm just wondering, I'm going to quote your article here. Since you believe that we who occupy these body bags have been granted free will, or as some refer to as free agency, how about exercising it? Well, how do you exercise free will? What, you know, like I know how to go to the gym and exercise my rippling muscular biceps, or my go for a jog and exercise my legs and heart and lungs. How do I exercise free will?
Let's see. What's coming to me is willpower. Exercise your willpower. In other words, employ it. Is more, I guess, the word how I should use. How about employing it?
Employing it. Okay. So what would that look like?
For me, it means making a choice.
Okay.
I can choose to do whatever.
You mean like choosing fudge ripple over strawberry ice cream?
There you have it. That's free will.
Free will. Okay, so then in
law
the
law does not make me eat chocolate.
Okay, but in the context of spiritual causes of aging and ways of overcoming them, how would I exercise my free will in that regard? Can you give me an example of that?
Sure. Later on in the article, drug out of thing off of a website, Dr. Mercola.
Okay.
And he advises as a measure against aging to engage or employ moderate exercise.
Okay.
Well, you know, the example I gave was that, and it's totally spiritual in my view. No, wait, okay, my mind is just changing. People every day say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, it's from free will.
You're right. That's a perfect example of exercising spiritual free will by declining to even have a spiritual awareness, saying there is nothing, right? That's free will. Very good. Thanks. That helps. A little bit further in the article, you're talking about receiving gifts like eternal life and whatever spiritual gifts is that Daddy wants to give us. I'm going to read a quote again. You decide to place on it, and even to the conditions as to how you go about receiving the gift. And that to me just sounds ridiculous. You know, I'm reminded of you a couple podcasts ago, or maybe it was last podcast, talking about that guy saying, well, if God wants me to have faith, he'll give it to me. Well, is that an example of someone deciding how they receive the gift? In other words, no, you can't ask for a gift, you have to actually have it put upon you, or...
Or even worse, if the gift has been sitting there all along, instead of unwrapping it and enjoying the gift, saying, well, the only way you can receive that kind of a gift, you have to work for it, you know, or you've got to do something. What I was thinking of, I think, when this, that came to me, was the fact of the conditions placed on it, is you got how many thousands, even within Christianity, how many thousands of different sects that say that you only get it this way, or you get it that way, or whatever. And then my mind went to, well, wait a minute, if I have free will, and the argument is, of course, with people who I tend to frankly agree with, but that salvation is universal, Jesus died, it's paid for, it's done, and no matter what you do, you've got it, and I'm not going to get into an argument about that because it doesn't make any difference what I think. But what the difference is related to the conditions you place on it. If you're telling me I have free will, and that's how I'm created, with free will, free agency, then if I don't want it, I don't have to take it. So how can you tell me that it's universal because I don't want it? And I have free will. So you take it and stuff it.
It just seems that the concept, the way you're presenting it here, about deciding on conditions on how to receive a gift, to me, it just seems so ludicrous. I mean, if it was your 10 days before Christmas and somebody comes by and says, well, I have a Christmas gift for you, you wouldn't say, well, no thanks, I can't receive that. It's not Christmas.
Say, no, that, you don't open that until Christmas, or don't open that until your birthday.
Well, then in this case, what we're talking about is that the gifts that are offered to people, all people, they're refusing to open it until they die.
Yeah, right on. I didn't put it in that context. Absolutely.
Well, and so if that's one of the gifts, eternal life, well, why do you wait till you're dead before you open the package?
Wow, nicely said.
Well, actually, I'd like to talk about somebody else saying it a little bit better. Further down in your article, you say, Jesus talked about our destiny, which includes overcoming physical as well as spiritual death. Can you just remind me of a couple ways that he talked about that?
He that believes in me shall never die. Never die.
But most Christians just suggest that by believing in Christ, you get to go to heaven.
Yeah, and well, he meant spiritually. No, he didn't, and I think it's pretty easy to prove in the original language. You know, he was talking, when he talked about, you know, the enemy comes only to kill and destroy, whereas I have come to give life and it more abundantly. He's talking about physical life there. There's no question about it in the original.
I can't say that I've studied it, so I definitely couldn't argue with it. But I'd never really looked at it that when he says, I come to give life and that more abundantly, that he's talking about physical life.
Well,
but I'm assuming that abundantly is abundantly, whether it's physical in nature or spiritual in nature, isn't it?
Let me assure you that the preponderance of belief in the Christian, quote, faith, unquote, does not believe it's physical, but rather spiritual.
And that's the way I was educated as well.
Yeah.
So you're giving me new information about, you know, part of me wants to say, oh yeah, prove it. I realize here we are in the middle of this great podcast. I don't know if you could just pull a thesaurus and interlinear Bible and a concordance out of your pocket. Could you do that?
If I had them anymore, I wouldn't.
Right. Okay. So I guess we're just going to have to take you on faith value.
Well, no, you're either going to have to take what I say as being the truth, or if you believe differently, what you say is the truth. And you know what's fun to me is, it's probably all true. You know, God sees this whole picture, and all we get to see is this one little slice that we hold on to so dearly. And that's how we wound up with, I wonder how many different, actually differently defined denominations there are in Christianity. They have to be in the, has to be in the thousands.
Oh, I'm sure. And then if you break it down into the individual beliefs, each individual, I'm quite confident, has a slightly different belief as well.
Yep.
But that's the human condition, right?
Yeah. And so it doesn't really matter.
No, because we have opportunity to go check our perceptions against the source of all truth.
Yep.
We don't have to accept any belief that we hold on to or what somebody else tells us. Go check. Ask God if you doubt.
Sure, my belief.
The story about Dr. Mercola, I tend to agree with him that exercise is very good for you, but I'm not quite sure I agree with him that a bad diet and exercise make it worse.
Yeah, well, as I pointed out in the article, that it's fair to say that, you know, Eve really puts a lot of stock in what he says, and primarily because on his website, he brings on experts from a variety of different arenas, and he seems to do a pretty balanced job in most cases, but even she says he thinks that he gets a little off track sometimes and is self-serving just to sell his own nutritional supplements, you know. So, but, you know, we're back to the human condition again. We're all playing a musical saw in our own fashion.
You know, I was quite shocked when I read this in your article. Fundamental Christians, due to a New Testament passage mistranslated, believe that physical exercise has little or no benefit. My mind just, full stop. My jaw drops. I can't imagine somebody, anybody, in today's world thinking that physical exercise has little or no benefit.
Well, if you take something that was written 2,000 years ago, it's going to get you off in a different gear, but with the KJV, which was translated in the 1600s, so, you know, 400 plus years ago, how did it go? I think it's physical exercise, exercise profiteth little, is what that translation said. So it doesn't say no benefit, it just says it doesn't have a whole lot of profit. Well, wait a minute. You go to the original, and what he's saying is, you know, that it's spiritual exercise that we want to engage in, and physical exercise probably has some benefit, but don't get hung up there. You know, move on into the real meat, into the spirit realm.
You know, I can't say I've ever met anybody who didn't believe that exercise had benefit. Even those who don't exercise believe that it has benefit.
Sure.
They're just not motivated. But what I really like about this part 9, Brad, is your clear and exact meaning, spiritual cause.
You know what my attitude was in parts of that?
What?
Well, I'd say, you know, Dad, what now? You know, I'd wait for some clarity, and all of a sudden it'd come, and, ooh, I like it so well. I said, there, Ryan, put that in your pipe and smoke it. clear enough for you, bub.
Yeah, it's clear. So, but it as clear as it is, of course, it always does one thing for me. You know, as soon as the light turns on in one room, you notice that there's a door at the other end, and you got to know what's behind that door too. So I got to ask you, those things still control. We're talking about your comment about spiritual beings controlling or given dominion over the physical plane. Those beings still control things behind the scenes physically to those who allow themselves to be susceptible. How do these spiritual beings, angelic beings, you call them, as well, control things behind the scenes? How do they do that?
They have dominion over the earth, believe it or not. you know, according to Jesus, this isn't me, but according to Jesus, they control the weather.
Okay.
Which,
so the weather.
By the way, you know, when he stopped a storm, and I'm not going to get off into what I do again, but when he stopped a storm, if it's the source causing the storm, how dare he stop it, right? Just a thought.
That's a very interesting thought. He wouldn't even question it, would he? So, Brad, I get it. Where do we go from here? I clearly understand what you're trying to say to me, and that spiritual agents don't want me to believe what Christ wanted me to believe. They don't want me to receive the gifts that Source has for me. And behind the scenes, they're trying to get me to make choices that would lead to what they want.
Which is your destruction.
Right. And I've decided I'm not going to die.
Yeah, and it's your decision.
So where do we go from here?
There's a little scripture somewhere in the New Testament. It is appointed once for a man to die. So you get a lot of heat about that one.
Really? Well, does it matter when? I mean, do I have to die today?
No, but you can. You can choose it. Anybody who doesn't think that you get to choose may just want to take a whole different view of you can jump off the Golden Gate Bridge if you want. You can end it right now.
It's true. If I don't want, then I should make the decisions that line up with what I do want, which is to live, right?
Right.
Huh. Does that mean I have to quit smoking?
Didn't know you did.
I don't. Just kidding.
Oh.
You know, the world has a whole bunch of advertisements for me to make choices like don't eat junk food or McDonald's or, you know, and exercise every day. And I mean, I have free agency. Can't I choose that some of the things that may be perceptively harmful for me, can't I say that, no, those aren't harmful for me. I can overcome those. That's free agency, isn't it?
Sounds to me like you're meddling now.
Meddling, okay. I'm going too far?
Nah, I think apparently we don't have a whole lot to talk about this particular article. I hope you found it interesting to you.
Well, I did find it interesting, but what really struck me was the exercise point of view of the good doctor. My young children, they don't have to exercise, and they're extremely healthy. Now, one of them is extremely active, and one of them is not. And yet they seem to get sick just as often as the other one does, and they seem to recover just as quickly as the other one does. What is it about youth that means that they don't have to suffer these things that are dread diseases? As a young kid, when I smoked cigarettes, didn't seem to bother me, but when I smoked them as an adult, it sure started to bother me over time.
Well, I guess you just answered your own question, didn't you?
Well, my question comes down to this. Why is it that youth don't seem to suffer the same way as elderly people do to the physical conditions of this world?
Well, rather than ask that question, Ryan, why don't we just decide to get younger every day and then we don't have to worry about it?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll take up smoking again someday.
if you want to.
Actually, no, I don't really want to. But thanks, Brad. I appreciate your article. I appreciate your insight. And I don't know where we're going to go from here, but I'm ready.
Okay, well, I don't have a clue, so I tend to think what is going to come up next has to do with getting those who want to stay on this path of reversing aging will get going on some sort of a invite of associating in a way that we can all take part and help one another. I'm not sure of that, but that thought came to me when you said, where are we going to go from here?
Well, that's an interesting thought. But I have a closing remark. Can I?
You're the publisher.
Okay. Thank you, Daddy, for manifesting yourself through me and in me. I am eternal life, and therefore the aging of this physical body bag mechanism has ended.
Oh, I love it.
That's my statement.
Great declaration.
Thanks, Brad. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ryan.
Bye.